Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 63 of Magic FM. I'm Gabby Sports, one of your hosts today, joined by Mashi Scanlon, as always. Mashi, welcome. It's been a while.
It has. How are you doing, Gabby?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well. I know it was kind of serendipitous because you had food arrive and I had a meeting run late, but you know, in true Magic FM fashion, you had pupusas, which are, as we've determined, a type of calzone. So, I mean, everything seems to be lining up.
Everything's still the same.
Yeah, nothing. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
What did I get? I got like a mixta, which is just like pork rinds, beans, and cheese. And then I got one that's just like cheese and this like green vegetable called loroco. That's really tasty. And Luis had a few like mixtas. It was delicious.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was really good.
I haven't broken my fast yet, so.
Oh my god, really?
Go eat. But 12 is my normal time, so.
I can't do that. I cannot fast for that long. I wake up and I'm like, me want food.
Gabby eats dessert for breakfast for those out there. Like, what I have for dessert is Gabby's breakfast.
It is a protein shake that is like muscle milk. It's just very like normal protein shake.
It is so delicious. That muscle milk is so.
I think it tastes good too. Like I have it for breakfast almost every day, but I wouldn't call it dessert.
It's dessert for me. So I'm not even sure. I think I've been in this weird, so for a long time I didn't have carbs and then I started alternating carbs, no carbs. And then recently I started eating sandwiches again. Mm-hmm. And so now like, look, when you are like no carb and then you start going back into the bread world and then you remember how much you love sandwiches. I've just been obsessed with sandwiches.
So I'm probably gonna
order some sandwiches. Just for lunch. I can't wait. It's like, I'm so excited for the turkey sandwich I'm going to have today. It's like, really? Yes, really.
You're like, yes, I'm that excited about the... I wouldn't know anything of that because I could never quit carbs. Like, that's just not a thing that's on the table.
Why can't I quit you?
No, not an option for me. But anyway, it's so nice to be back here and be chatting with you again, Mashi, and be hanging out with Magic FM listeners. We know it's been a couple weeks. We're back on this monthly schedule, so it's going to be the first Friday of every month. We are going to do a check-in on everything that happened Magic-related over the last month. And yeah, we've got some updates today, some things that have been happening. Also, just interesting things that come up. There's been a very recent kind of rankings... What would I say? Debate in the Magic community. So we're going to be chatting about that.
Yeah.
Kerfuffle. So we're going to be talking about that as well. But before we get into it, I did want to do a shout out for channelfireball.com, the sponsor of the podcast. There's this really cool thing going on right now. I think you may, if you're connected to Magic Twitter at all, you probably have seen people tweeting about this, but it's the Kaldheim Box Breaks. And if you're not familiar with the concept, basically it's like if you and a bunch of your friends get into a box of, could be anything, could be Yu-Gi-Oh, could be Flesh and Blood, could be sports cards, could be Magic. And then you open up the entire box and you split the cards in like a random way or however you figure it out. But CFB is basically hosting those over at twitch.tv/CFBBoxBreaks, and just channelfireball.com/boxbreaks has all the information for it as well. And this week, Mashi himself has been cracking a bunch of Kaldheim boxes. And it's been really cool. We gave entry to a bunch of our creators, so they've been tweeting about it. We've seen a lot of them in the stream as they've been cracking packs. Marshall actually got in on it, which is really funny because he's like so not the like card opening person. But he
don't open packs unless you're drafting them. Yeah. That is his policy, right? It's a waste, literally a waste to open every pack unless it's to draft out of that pack.
But we convinced him to join one of our box breaks, and he actually did really well. He got like 2 foil gold span dragons or something. He came up ahead.
It was insane. Because it wasn't just that. He had like one of the quote-unquote weaker colors and then hit, I think, 3 total gold span dragons, which is like the money card in red. And I was like, oh my god, you've turned a like mediocre like pull into like a huge win. So.
Right. In the case for the box breaks, then the color you get gets randomized. So like sometimes you're like, oh wow, I got green. Maybe now I'll get the cool Phyrexian Vorinclex, which we've seen a couple of. Like the foil Phyrexian Vorinclex, which is just chef's kiss, are beautiful.
So great. So great. I mean, Flesh and Blood is the wild one. Like, because I know like the big money cards, like I opened an Arknight Shard. That's like a $4,000 to $5,000 card. I had no idea at the time. I knew from the foiling on it that it was, I was like, oh, it's one of the rare cards. And Sasso wasn't there and he was watching the stream and I was like pulling it out of his sleeve, looking, oh, that looks good. And then finally someone's like, hey, that's like a $5,000 card. And I was like, Why do I keep touching it? Why
you're like, my greasy fingers are not worthy.
And it's from the newest set. It's mind-blowing. And it's like yesterday I was cracking them and I was like, oh, look, it was a cold foil gambler's gloves. And I'm like, I think this is worth something. I set aside, someone did a price check. He's like, yeah, that's $600.
Oh my
What's going on with these cards?
Question mark.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's been really sweet. There's been boxes of Pokemon being opened, boxes of Magic, boxes of Flesh and Blood. Right now, one of the coolest things that's being opened also are Legends packs. I actually got in on one of those. The Legends packs have been super fun. You basically buy one card in the entire pack, so it's like 15 groups, mm-hmm. 15 people join it. And we got into the same one, Luis and I and Sperling and Dennis. We were all in the same
Dennis
one.
Dennis was in there too. Yeah.
It's so funny because Luis was trying to like dictate who was gonna get what, just like making predictions. He said that Dennis was gonna get Goblins of Care Keep. Is that the name?
Kobolds. Kobolds of Care Keep.
And which is not it's not a money card, like a super forgettable card from that set.
Legends.
From Legends. Yeah. And instead, when it was actually time to draw the cards, Luis actually got it
justice. It was so much justice that Luis ended up with the Kobolds to Care Keep.
People in chat were losing it. I was losing it. Yeah. It was just amazing. It was so funny.
That made the break worth it.
So funny. We were having dinner when this was happening and I had my computer up. And so he was eating clams, so he couldn't even type. And so I was just my hands were clean, so I was just like la 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 la.
it was perfect. It was actually just the perfect way to crack that Legends pack. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. It kind of scratches that. It actually scratches the itch for me because I'm opening so many packs. Mm. But I think that, you know, if you're watching it, we're not a lot of us are playing with physical Magic cards, opening a lot of packs, and kind of scratches that itch. So it's a lot of fun. It's a really good chat community. I'm really proud of the community that's there so far. So they've done a good job.
Yeah, it's been really sweet. There's definitely regulars. Like every time I tune in, I see some of the same people showing up. It's been really sweet. It's been developing nicely. But yeah, I wanted to shout it out because it's been happening Wednesday to Saturday most weeks. Also, if you are going to be buying some box bricks, you could use the code MAGICFM. Support our podcast.
That's right. Even though we're monthly, the code still works. Yep. So it's still there.
So yeah, you should check out channelfireball.com/boxbricks if you want to learn some more. All righty, Mosh. Let's dive into it. There's been controversies. Yeah.
And before we go, we're monthly and we still had to Gabby's had to work a lot on this. And it's funny because one of the things I thought before we get into this controversy is the show was a lot easier to kind of like draft show notes for when there were bannings every other week. As much as I hated having those bannings, as much as I hated it, right? It was fodder. I mean, and we've gone back to a month and a lot of influencers are still on that weekly cadence. It's a great place for Magic. It's like the desert for content, right? You don't have those weekly bans anymore.
So. Yes, I agree. It's weird because, it's like it felt like whiplash when all of that was happening. But also it was like, first it got banned, then it got unbanned, then this other card got banned. Like, oh, get on this roller coaster ride. And now it's been easy cruising. Nothing too wild has happened.
Smooth sailing, nothing happening. And so it's like, what are we going to... Even though it's been a few weeks, like, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, it's funny how that's changed. But yeah, you're totally right. It's a great thing for the game overall. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. But we did find something, or Gabby, that we want to talk about. So why don't you, because I think you knew this from the inception. I caught the tail end of it, actually. Sure. I kind of saw the aftermath. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of debate. It's kind of died down a little bit in the last couple of days, but it had been going on for like a week or so. Basically, people started ranking the players in MPL and Rivals, and it started out innocent enough, like people making like a tier list of like who are the S tier people, or like the A people, the B people, the C people, however. So K-Prince, a streamer, made just a tier list ranking the Rivals / MPL players. I think one other person may have made a list too. And then Crokey's also made a list, and his list was made a little bit to be incendiary. Let's just put it that way. but it's ruffled a lot of people's feathers because he basically made the list live on stream, talked about all the players as they were being ranked, didn't say the kindest things in context for some players, specifically the people ranked at the bottom. And people just a lot of people thought it was funny. A lot of people thought it was not cool. They thought that it was like kind of like a jerk move and pretty insulting to the people at the bottom who got made fun of, right? And so people have been now debating not just like the ranking itself, but hey, should you rank people? Like, should you rank players? How do we feel about that? And it's kind of spun off in a ton of different directions. And I thought what Mashi and I could do here is take a look at, hey, what are the merits of ranking people versus like what is bad about ranking people? And overall, like how do we feel about these rankings of players, whether it be MPL rivals or like anything else related to Magic? Like, how do we feel about it overall?
So for me, I mean, context is everything, right? I think, you know, in a kind of in a vacuum, I think the ranking is a good thing. I think it, you know, it's something we do naturally. Full disclosure, I cut my teeth making top eight lists. So that, you know, you're talking to, you know, top eight, you know, Magic TV top eight. And so that's all ranking. And I think we've done top eight players before, right? Top eight, you know, Hall of Famers, top eight pro players. But there's a, you know, how you frame things and how you contextualize things is super important, where it's like, you know, if you frame it the way this list should have been framed, and I think was intended to be framed, it's like, hey, you're on the list. That's just great. Right. And you know, it's like when you start talking about things like you're in the Hall of Fame, who are the best players in the Hall of Fame? Okay. You're in the Hall of Fame. B, you made this list.
Right.
But when you start talking about things like who are the worst players in the Hall of Fame, or, you know, who doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? So when you rank things, it can be something like, hey, all 8 or 10 or whatever spots on this list are just very good players, and we're arguing about that. Or it could be like, here are the 4 that are good, and then, oh, at the bottom, these guys just suck, and that blah blah. And I think that's where a real disparity.
A list that's framed as the best players in the Hall of Fame versus the least deserving players to be in the Hall of Fame, those are going to be perceived very differently. One is clearly just making fun of people, right? Or like it's some amount of commentary about whether or not you think that maybe they belong in that space or not. I completely agree with that. I'm kind of there with you, Mash. I think that ranking people in stuff, like whether it be sports teams or like Magic top eights, it's kind of a time-honored thing. And I think it lends itself to things that have a competitive aspect to them, because that's why you would rank things, right? It makes sense that you would rank the best baseball players of all time, because these are all players playing in like a moderately even playing field, and you're trying to compare them even through times, like even this person at this point in time versus this person at this point in time.
All the time.
Yeah.
This is such a weird thing, and maybe I think this is okay because I actively do this. Like, I have a top 3, top 5 Magic players of all time. You know, people talk about Finkel versus Kai. Is Luis in that top 3? Is it PV? Do you have Gabriel Nassif there? This isn't something that I was like, you brought this up, and I was like, oh, let me think about it. It's like, no, I've had this in my brain for years, and the Finkel-Kai debate's been going on for a long time, so... You know, I get this is maybe newish for the MPL and rivals, but let's not kid ourselves for maybe, you know, for the boomers who've been playing Magic for a long time. This has been a raging debate. And I don't think that I've never met, I know everyone I just met, everyone I just named, I've met. And I don't think there's ever been that list stuff, it really hurts my feelings. I don't think we should be doing that. It's done differently where it's like, you're one of the top 5 players of all time. I mean, I've had Gabriel Nassif on Magic TV once, and I said to him, this is kind of crazy for me, I'm a little bit nervous, you're one of, like, I think you're one of the top 5 players to ever play Magic, and like, you know, and obviously I meant it as a compliment and it was very genuine, but I do have that list in my head. I am actively making those rankings.
Yeah. And I think that is, I mean, that is one of the things that I think comes with competing in a public setting. And and I mean, you can call it a occupational hazard if you want, but I think this is just part of being in that space. I think there's actually benefits that people get from these lists. Like, I think MPLs and rivals get a benefit from being public figures in the setting. And so ranking them in the setting is just part of it. I think it creates some amount of publicity and to the league and to the players. And it also makes things feel like they matter. Like, if you are ranking, you had to have determined that the list was worth making in the first place for you to have wanted to rank the players within it. Otherwise, why are you doing it? Like, I'm not ranking the top 5 paintings in my background. Like, that's just not worth ranking, right? Like, why would you do that? Even though there's a clear number one in the Sandwich Viper, no big deal.
Wow.
Boom.
I think I've got, I know which one I like the best.
Which one do you like the most?
I like the Pac-Man one.
The Pac-Man one's pretty good. I like it.
I just love it. I look at it every time we're on a call. I'm like, I like that.
You're like, that one's pretty good. But yeah. But it's true, right? Like, if the list weren't worth making, like, it needs to have some amount of value for you to want to rank stuff. And then by you doing that, you're showing to other people that this thing has value also.
And this goes back to motivations, right? Because if the reason I'm ranking this is, hey, Gabby, let's talk about the top five players that don't belong in the Magic Hall of Fame. There's just malicious intent there. And so it's like, there is no value in being a jerk.
Right.
So somehow conflating the idea that people are going to take something that I think is fine. And I actually think it's healthy. I think it's a good thing to do. I, you know, when I have been competitive in my life, I have compared myself to others. And when I can't imagine, I haven't competed in anything professionally like this, but everyone I know that is a professional competitor in some way, they want to compete. They want to compete against the best. They want to beat the best. And they want to have that comparison. And the reason they want that comparison is they want to win and say, yeah, I am the best, right? I think that's part of what drives competition. And I think that's what we call quote unquote healthy competition. Anyone can approach anything and be a jerk about it and make it a jerky thing. And that doesn't make that thing bad. It makes you a jerk, and being a jerk is bad, right? Like, I think right. That's a huge thing here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You don't have to conflate ranking to being a jerk. Like, you can rank people and be a jerk, or you can rank people mm-hmm. and do it in a respectful way. I also think that, like being underrated or like where you are in the list can also provide you with some amount of motivation. Like, if you are on the list, like in this case, you are in the MPL arrivals and you get ranked really low, but somebody did it in a not jerk way, right? They weren't saying like, ha ha, you suck. Like, you can actually use that to fuel your competition. You can use that as inspiration to be like, hey, you know what? I want to prove them wrong. I want to prove that I'm here. I want to prove that I belong. And that's not a bad thing. Like, I think you can use that as part of your journey. Go ahead, Mosh.
In sports have, like, whether they're true or not, apocryphal stories about this, like Michael Jordan not making the varsity basketball team or whatever. You know, these things happen. And there are, you know, then the story becomes, well, that was the fuel that pushed me further. And I think a lot of times, as, again, this is just drawing on competitors I know. Like, I think, for instance, I have not had this conversation with Luis, but I will make this assumption based on the time I've spent with him. I think he thinks more about losing in Kyoto than winning in Berlin. And that is part of that competitive mindset that a lot of times you don't focus on your wins. You focus on, man, I could have won here or I could have done this. And that's that competitive drive pushing you, saying, mm-hmm. I want to succeed more. This is what's fueling me. And finding healthy things to do that is good. You know, like, you know, if it's like, hey, I didn't even crack the top 10, but I want to be a top 10 player. I see myself as a top 10 player. By the way, you're already in the MPL. You're already in Rivals. I got news for you. You're very, very good at Magic.
Yeah.
All these people who have commentary, you're better than people ranking you. Unless, I don't know if PV and Ben S and Luis have published lists. You are better than the people ranking you.
Yes.
That's another thing to keep in mind. When these are, there's a community of people who, and maybe there's, it can be anything from you are an inspiration to them. You are someone they look up to and want to emulate, to they are jealous and they wish they had what you had, whether it's the recognition or the place or anything. So there's all these other factors that go into how this is done. What I love about what you've said, Gabby, is set all that aside. If I'm on that list or if I'm being ranked on something, I can set up that all aside and I get to choose how I'm going to interact with it. I get to make a choice about what does this mean to me? By the way, here's a good choice in life. I just recommend it. Just dismiss jerks. They have very little to offer you and it's not constructive. So just dismiss them. But I think you'd said, was it Corey had a great take on this?
Yeah, I actually had two examples of where this can be good, like where being at the bottom of the list can, like, what you make of it, you can make something good out of being at the bottom of the list. One of them was Corey Burkhart. He was ranked at the bottom of the tiers on the Crokies list. And Corey said, you know, I'm going to show them. Like, I'm going to show them that I'm not at the bottom of the list. This gives me my fire to want to prove to people that I am not there, that I am much higher than that, that I deserve to be here. And that's a great attitude, because the other version of that is you can see that and be like, boo-hoo, I'm terrible at magic, I'm so sad, and just get down on everything. And I'm not saying that that's a valid response. Like, you could just, that could be your response, but Corey's choosing to take that as motivation and fuel and say, nah, this motivates me to prove them wrong. I'm gonna show them that they're wrong. And honestly, like, one of the examples that I most think is like this, and somebody who did a great job with it, was actually Reed Duke. When he qualified to the Pro Tour for the first time from the Magic Online Championship, because this is back before he was a pro. He used to play under the Raider Rabbit, like, MTGO handle, and he was just an MTGO. Yeah. This is old. He was just an MTGO grinder. And so he ends up going to the Pro Tour, or actually the Mox, excuse me. He qualified to the Mox via Magic Online, and he got dead last. Like, actual dead last. Like, I think he didn't win a match or something. And I've talked to him about it, and he was like, I felt horrible. Like, I just couldn't, you know, you go to these things just thinking, like, I just don't want to embarrass myself, right? I just want to show that I belong with this group of people that are playing in the Mox. And then you just lose every single round. And so he's just like, it was truly awful. But then the next year I decided that was my fuel. That was my motivation. Like, this is when I really started taking things seriously. And I started playing Magic super seriously because I wanted to come back. I wanted to re-qualify, and I wanted to do great the next time around. And so he does that, mm-hmm. and he, like, ends up winning, or he gets second. I forget exactly. I think he gets second, right?
I think so. It
was with Boggles.
I'm just thinking about, yeah. And yeah. I'm just thinking about, like, Reed's story, and, like, there's so many other players just in the history of the game that have stories of that where you just don't think they're going to come in last. Things like that happen. Like, why would Reed be worried about his performance at the tournament? He's Reed Duke, right? But he's always been Reed Duke, but he hasn't always been Reed Duke.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very interesting. How much, just with that narrative, this is a bit of a tangent, but I'm just curious your thoughts here. The path to organized play, as we've discussed many times on Magic FM, has changed so much, okay, recently. Mm-hmm. But there used to be a path where you by dint of how you could get to the Pro Tour, you had to keep trying and many times fail. Like, you made the top eight of the PTQ, but you didn't win. And then the next weekend, you drove 5 hours and you played in another PTQ and you made the top eight and you came in second. You didn't win that one. And people had to fail over and over and then finally win that one PTQ and get their shot. And then maybe they don't day two and they don't qualify for the next Pro Tour. And then they go back down and they got to go to the next PTQ. Like David Ochoa, this is something that he went through. Raptor went through some of this too, right? And I just think, like, the drive and the desire there that you had to display to make it in those days, it feels like that's changed now. And the path's becoming what they are now. Like, I don't know. It's just, I wonder if there's a different mentality for how you qualify and how you get in, and if it's drawing a different mindset and a different type of person and player into the game. Not worse by any means. I'm not making a value judgment there, but just what you've described with Reed, what he went through. I know so many people who fought. I mean, there was a time. I mean, look, there was a time when Luis Scott Vargas was playing in PTQs and not winning them.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, pros have the experience, so it's just weird that now it just feels
I feel like the makeup of what a pro player looks like now is just very different. Like, a lot of that grind locally, play in your PTQs, go to local tournaments, I think that scene is kind of just long gone. I think you're getting a lot more people who have a ton of experience playing online and grind in a different way. They're still grinding, but it's not the same as, like, driving to your PTQ with your friends, you know, getting around one loss and just being like, why did I even bother?
I am stuck for the rest of the day.
You're just like, I'm here. This is what I'm doing with my weekend. I think, like, competing online has made it easier and harder for a variety of reasons. It's easier. You're at home. You're just on your computer. You don't have to worry about card availability. Like, all those problems are very easy to solve these days. But on the flip side, you're also competing against more people. It's the same way that the Magic Online PTQs are super duper competitive, so much more competitive than the in-person PTQ ever was. And it's just because you're dealing with a larger pool of people who are all playing, and you just, more rounds, you're playing against more players, more skill. So yeah, I agree though. I think the like average Magic pro player just looks different these days.
Yeah, it just struck me when you described Reed's totally. Journey.
I agree.
But back to lists, I think that, you know, the other thing that really comes to mind, because I make this joke about, you know, doing top eights, is I think that there is, lists require a value judgment, right? That's what we are saying. We're saying this person is number one. But I think it's the person and that human element that maybe people feel uncomfortable with. Because look, if I ask you, Gabby, like, hey, what are your top five like burger places? Or top five Chicago pizza places. Like, we make lists in life of many, many things. Like here's my favorite. I mean, my favorite taco place, my favorite, it's all food. Unsurprisingly, it's all food. But my favorite TV shows. How about that? These are my favorite TV shows. Or even within those TV shows, I love Doctor Who. Here are my favorite doctors. Here are my favorite companions. And I list all those things, right? When it comes to sports, I have my favorite athletes, my favorite teams, but really just favorite team. So there's these lists, they occur everywhere. And I think one of the beauties of social media is it can connect people. So you're not just Gabby Spartz. I can tweet at you and you'll respond. I can go into your Twitch chat and talk to you and you'll respond. And I hear you and I see you and you're a person. Same thing with people at the NPL and the Rivals. And so maybe what the real concern is here is, well, we're attaching this human value to them, which we should. They are people. But with that skill, when we start talking about ranking of skill, a lot of time we're trying to like divorce that and just say, here what the stats say, or here's where I think someone's a more complete thing. And then where it becomes even more difficult is when I am on that sheet and I have tied, rightfully so, again, this isn't an indictment, I've tied my self-worth to my success in this game. Well, great, you're a professional and good news for you. If that's your self-worth, congratulations, you've made it. You've done a very good thing. But now you're saying something about me, you know, because this is the double-edged sword with the social media thing, is that because of Twitter and because of social media and all that access, you know me. Well, they don't, you know, they know quotes, much more of you.
Right.
This isn't a value judgment, right?
Right. I actually think you said something really interesting, and I think it's worth pointing out that there is a difference between creating rankings like based on skill level, specifically here like in Magic, versus comparing yourself to others and dictating your happiness based on those comparisons. Because I think those are two very different concepts, vastly mm-hmm. different. One of them can be a good thing, and there's a lot of things that are beneficial to it. I think that is the rankings. One of them, that just compare yourself to others, can be very negative and it can just totally ruin your life. And I think, you know,
yeah,
we're not talking about this listing isn't about streaming, but this is one of the ones that I see people deal with all the time. They, not even just with streaming, with anything in life, if you try to compare to somebody else, there's always somebody else who's doing better than you. There's always somebody who has another car, somebody with a bigger house, somebody with a whatever. And I know with streamers, it really happens because like it's very tangible, like somebody with a higher view count, somebody with more subscribers, somebody with more streaming hours. And people will say, a very common sentiment is, I just end up comparing myself to others and feeling like I'm not worth it because of that. You're basically at that point giving your self-worth an equivalent, and then you're just comparing it to someone else. And let me tell you, when you're comparing to someone else, you're comparing to their highlight reel. Like, you're taking your regular life and you're comparing with their highlight reel.
Oh, that's great.
Because that's what people put out in social media.
You said that perfectly.
It's what it is.
And that's what we see a lot of time. It's what when I want to compare myself to someone, you know, I guess you're looking at their lowlights or highlights, because you could just be like, oh, I'm so much better than so-and-so. And then all you do is look at the bad stuff.
Right.
And it's like, oh man, why am I not doing as well as so-and-so? And all you do is look at the good stuff, but you always have a thumb on this. I've never heard that before. All you're comparing yourself to a highlight reel. That is a home run statement. That's totally right. I've been there.
It really is the way it's the way I've always felt when I'm looking, because you're just, people on social media are naturally going to put the stuff that's better, right? You don't see their bad days there. I mean, some people are very candid. Some people will be like, you know what? I had a terrible day today and nothing went right and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. For every person who does that, there's like 10 people who don't. So I would say that, yeah, comparing yourself to others and like letting your happiness be dictated on those comparisons, not good. But these rankings, that's a different thing. We're not putting your self-worth and value in that. We're specifically comparing something like based on its skill level. Like, that would be the comparison here in Magic. Or for, you know, Magic TV top eights were comparing top eight snakes based on their power level. You know, it doesn't mean that Ambush Viper, even totally though it different. Doesn't make the list, is like a less worthy Viper, you know? You're just determining how you're ranking things.
Mm-hmm. And it can be, if it's top eight Gabby's favorite Vipers, guess what? Ambush Viper is going to come in and it's going to win.
So, rank one in our hearts.
I mean, right. It's always context. Again, anyone can be malicious with this stuff. I do want to say, because I know this was a part of this ranking, I am firmly, I've planted this flag many times. I am firmly in the limited needs to be part of competitive Magic.
Oh, me too. Can I just, that's a hill I'm ready to die on.
so much. And in like fashion, when I was doing the Monday meta with Martin and he wasn't playing limited anymore, I made the statement many times over to him and to others, this is a shame. I think you are one of the top five greatest limited players of all time.
Right.
Right. Again, there's that ranking again. I just think you are, you know?
And now being good at limited doesn't really matter these days, or like it might at some point, but definitely not right now. Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah. So I know that, I know that can become an issue.
One of the other arguments I saw against the, like making the list, which I didn't actually think it held up, but I think it's worth mentioning because it is one of the arguments that people were making, is, hey, if you rank people in this group, the people who are not ranked in the group are going to feel bad. I just don't think that makes any sense. Like, if you're ranking people who are in MPL and Rivals, who are literally considered the competitive players, why would you rank people outside of them in that list? Like, that doesn't really make sense to me. I get why people are saying that, but I don't think the list is made with the intent of being exclusionary. It's a very natural thing to rank people who are all in a league competing with each other.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Especially, I mean, I'm not sure if everyone is ranked, but that's just a closed pool. You know, you don't need to leave anyone out. So, you know, the list in that case, if you rank everybody, the list didn't leave anyone out. That's everybody.
Right.
And that's, you know, meets the criteria. And the thing to keep in mind, and this is why oftentimes maybe it's better if there's 20, you only rank top 10 or something, is someone's going to be in last place.
Yes.
There's a first place and there's a last place. That's the way it is. And that's like kind of going back to the Reed story is, you know, I think what he says is true. Like on the one hand, you qualified for Mox. Congratulations. That is not an easy thing to do. You went out there, you played, you came in last place. So you were the last of the best to some degree, but all you see is I was the last and I embarrassed myself, right? Like my dream is to play on the Magic Pro Tour. Guess what? Every person that has finished dead last at a Magic Pro Tour has achieved that dream that I have not.
Right.
Right. And that's a crazy thing to say. It's like, and I'm sure they didn't feel good about it. I'm sure they didn't sit there and go, I just got last place this Pro Tour. What the heck? Oh my God. And yet here I am going, one day, baby.
Yeah, same, you know? Honestly, same.
There's so much perspective involved in that, right? Like I would love to finish last place in a Pro Tour because guess what? That means I qualified for a Pro Tour. I've been dreaming about that since I was like 16, you know?
I also think it makes sense to compare these things. Like it's fine for you to compare, like it's fine for you to have these standards and it doesn't really reflect on other people. Like just as an example, I think Luis had a really bad Pro Tour at some point and I think it was a Pro Tour where he just like lost all of them and dropped and he was like obviously really bad. And he was unhappy about it. And I think at some point, you know, I'm like comforting him and he's like, I know I'm sorry. I'm not like trying to complain. I'm just disappointed that I did that. And I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, obviously like if I qualified for Pro Tour and got dead last, I'd still be like so proud of myself.
I'm on the Pro Tour, baby.
I don't think it, like you can have that expectation for yourself without that hurting my feelings, you know, or
definitely
right. Or like Caroline's a really good example. We had her on the show, few months back, and like sometimes Caroline will do this with me with streaming, and I always tell her to not think about it that way. She'll be like, oh, I achieved this stream milestone and I'm really excited for it or proud of it, and she'll always cushion it with, but I know it's a small thing, like always downplay it, like I know this isn't like a huge deal. And I hate when people do that, because No, that is a milestone for you. Like, it is good for you to feel proud about this thing that, like, just because you, like, if you were able to go run 2 miles and you were married to somebody who was a professional athlete, just because they are a professional athlete doesn't mean that that takes from your accomplishment. Totally. It doesn't, right? Just like Luis can be sad about doing bad at the Pro Tour, and I would be thrilled to be in that spot. Or Caroline, exactly. Caroline sees that I'm a full-time streamer and says, oh, I know this is a small thing, but no, it's not a small thing. This is an accomplishment. This is cool. We should celebrate that. That's a good thing to celebrate. Like, things are relative.
And yeah, and I think it's so important to celebrate your accomplishment. Just as a holistic thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's important to celebrate your accomplishments. It's important that others help you celebrate those things. Because, I mean, this is kind of a COVID thing. I feel like we're doing a lot less of that these days. But what you say is so true. You know, when, and I think about this when I was working out, because when I was traveling a lot, my whole goal was like, you know, all I can do in hotel rooms is pushups. I just started doing pushups, 40 pushups today. And then I got to 60 pushups, and I got to 100 pushups. And, you know, and now I remember those old milestones, and I'm just like, I remember when I was proud of this. You're like, and like I've surpassed them, but you know, I still go back and go, I remember exactly Toronto was one of the milestones. I was in a hotel room in Toronto. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I had 100 pushups, whatever. And I remember that moment. And I was really proud of myself. I was like very happy because it was a goal I had. And I still think about how good that goal felt. And I think it's important to have those. And even now, if I did it today, I'd be like, okay, well, come on, Mosh. We're past that now. That's still such a great goal. And if someone else were to have that goal and hit that goal, I would know exactly how they felt. Mm-hmm. Even though that's not in my present, it's in my past. And I would celebrate it because those goals, it's not about how you feel about an accomplishment now. Because Luis knows, he's played in PTQs. He knows the feeling of winning a Pro Tour. Raptor does. Like everybody who did that knows that. And by God, if they're there in front of you when you win your PTQ, I guarantee they will celebrate it, even though they're Hall of Famers, because they know that feeling.
Yes.
They know that feeling. And that is so important. And that's the perspective is important when you are valuing your own and others. But it's so important to remember when you're working with someone or around someone who's on a similar path, if they're behind you on that path because of time or for whatever reason, so remember what it felt like when you hit those milestones and be like, dude, what are you talking about? This is an amazing thing. You're the one downplaying. Yeah, this is crazy.
Don't downplay it. This is really cool. You should celebrate that. So,
yeah, because we're so far afield from lists, but I like where we're at. I mean, this is a super important conversation.
I think all these things are related. Like, don't compare yourself to others. Like, don't put your worth on comparing other people. Ranking things is fine if you're ranking them respectfully. Celebrate your accomplishments. Boom. We got all of our life lessons.
There we go. We got it, baby. Next.
I like it. That is a good wrap up, actually. That is the rankings. That is the rankings debate. I think we have gotten. We put a nice bow on it.
We've gotten there.
Yeah. Aside Agreed. From that, there's been a couple of things that have happened since last month that I thought would be interesting for us to just check in on, since a bunch of them have had updates. And we have gotten to make opinions on them, that sort of thing. So the first one is Call Time. Call Time has been out for a little bit, and I think you haven't actually had a chance to play it, right, Mosh?
No, I have not.
Mosh is out here cracking so many boxes. Yeah. Mosh is like, I can tell you all the rares in every color.
I'm trying to memorize the values. I wonder at what point I will have opened more collector boosters. Like the set boosters, stores are cracking those for inventory, et cetera, but there's not a high volume in cracking collector boosters. Wonder like at what point I may get to the person who's opened the most collector boosters.
Masha with a hot hand.
Or Zendikar hands. Rising.
Masha
so I've opened a lot of it.
Well, I've gotten to play it. It's actually been really fun. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we talked about when we were talking about how the mechanics were going to play and stuff, like Boast has been pretty cool. Boast is definitely... As we kind of predicted, gives people an incentive to attack, even if maybe sometimes they lose the creature in the process. Sometimes it's like, I attack and I'm going to make a 4/4 dragon. I'm going to lose my creature in the process, and it's not a big deal. So that's played out really well. Foretell's played out really well. It's fun. It's a way to smooth out your curve because it always gives you something to do on turn two. So you know, like those limited formats where you go like turn one, do nothing, turn two, do nothing, turn three, maybe do a little something or like put a ramp card down. This always feels like you can, like Sarulf's Packmate, the 3-mana or the 4-mana 3/3 wolf that draws an extra card. Sometimes you're playing a 4-drop on turn three because you know, foretold it on turn two, played it on turn three. So that mechanics played out really well. And the set's just very flavorful. Like, I've liked it a lot. I think so far Kaldheim has been a hit.
To what degree are you looking at cards like the was a packmate you just mentioned? Like, is that just a three drop when you draft it and your brain is like, this is a three drop?
Usually when I've been organizing my list, I'll like relatively take a look at which cards I'm more likely to foretell on turn two. So packmate, I will put it on turn four because I'm way more likely to go like in a green deck. I'm way more likely to go foretell something on two, play a three drop, then play the packmate. Or sometimes you go like turn four, foretell to set up a next turn that will be really sweet.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like, there's That's a white, crazy. There's a white black deck in limited that, like all the cards are like when you play your second spell each turn, something happens. Like put a plus one right, counter on this creature, or you make a spirit, or you draw three cards and keep one. Like there'll be different effects. So sometimes you'll be doing turns where you're like setting up the cards that have payoffs, and then you have a turn where you foretell, so that the following turn you go spell, or you can set it up so that you have cast a spell from hand plus a foretell because it's cheap. The next turn, cast a spell from hand plus foretell because it's cheap. So it leads to really cool play patterns.
How do you feel? And so I don't know it's not a mechanic, but listening to Lords of Limited, which if you're playing Limited, you absolutely should. Ben and Ethan are great. And Limited Resources, Marshall and Luis are great. Though, based on the showdown, maybe not quite as great.
The resources team got kind of, they got kind of smacked.
They got it handed to them. I got a handsome, but not a specific mechanic, but snow is like a huge strategy and part of the game, part of the format, right?
Yeah. I've enjoyed snow. Snow's been interesting. There's definitely like sub snow decks that you can draft. There's also a five color snow deck. The biggest challenge with that one is just balancing your mana. Like your mana ends up being moderately sketchy. There's definitely cards that help you fix your mana colors, but a lot of the snow payoffs require you to have snow lands or snow permanents for them to do anything. And so getting the right mix of like colors and payoffs and stuff is really cool. It's definitely one of those decks where like the more you draft the set, I think the more likely you are to end up in five color snow, because it's just like an archetype where you're like, this card's really good and this card's really good. And now I'm five color snow. Yes.
That feels like cubes.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I'm just going to draft all the good stuff. I'm going to work it out.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to figure it out, baby. Because, you know, people have been taking the snow duels pretty aggressively in Limited because it's a snow permanent. It fixes your colors. And there's just not that many, right? So, like, there is value to taking those cards. But, no, I think it's been playing out awesome. My only real complaint about Kaldheim is just that every card has so much text. It's, like, it's unbelievable.
It's insane.
Every card is like a thesaurus. Yes.
It's actually at the point because, like, now I'm like, okay, I'm going to have some time, I think, in the near future to get into draft. And so what am I doing? CFP Pro, I read all the limited stuff. I no matter what, I'm listening to Lords Limited and Limited Resources, just try to keep up to date. And when you have a vehicle like a podcast, they say, okay, here's the card. It's the two red, three other that brrr. I'm like, wait, go back 30 seconds.
That does this, this and card that. Do again? Venn diagram. If it didn't do this, it does this other thing.
Yeah. And so it's like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to catch up. And it's a little intimidating how much, like, it makes the strategy richer, sure, but wow, there's a lot going on in this.
Yeah. I think that you can definitely have cards like that in a set, but you don't want to have that many because part of it too is I can't imagine being a new player, getting into Kaldheim and being like, I'm ready to play, baby. I just can't see it because I would look at a card and just like be like, I don't understand what this card does. Like, this card has so much text and it has two sides and each side has three abilities and I don't really know how they interact with each other. I just wouldn't know how to deal with the gods and all the cards that just have a ton of text, I wouldn't know how to play with them. So that's the only thing that just kind of scares me a little bit about Kaldheim. It's like, I don't want every future Magic set to just be text on text on text on text. Like, read this whole paragraph and it's a reading comprehension test to see if you can play with a card.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you. I mean, I'm actually feeling a little bit of that. I'm like, whatever, just start playing Mosh, who cares? But I can feel a little bit of that. I mean, I'm opening the cards. So I'm familiar with some of them, but I don't know what any of the cards
do. The text is so small, you can't even read it. It's like this big.
It's true. It's really, really true. That actually dovetails into another thing that's happened, which is Arena on mobile.
Oh, yeah.
Can you play Call Time Limited on Arena Mobile?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? There's a lot of text, but there's a lot of text on these cards.
You're like, wait a minute. You're just like, you pull up your phone and you're like, enhance, like zoom, yeah, zoom, what zoom. Does it do?
So it has hit, but it's like Android only, right? No, and Gabby and I are both iPhone users, so I haven't had a chance to play it. Dennis Stranjack.
Yeah, so what does Dennis
think? He has an Android. He says it's fine.
Okay.
He's like, he's no major issues so far. Like, look, I'm just going to straight up be honest. You put a mobile version of Arena on the phone, on a phone in front of me, all I'm going to do is say, all right, Scoot Mob, let's see what we can do. I'm going to build like scootmob.deck just to test it because I'm so curious what happens when you get all those Scoot Mob tokens out, you know?
Yeah. So what I've heard, because I also haven't been able to play it because I don't have it on my phone yet. From just asking people on stream, people are saying that for the most part, it's a pretty good client and that they've been enjoying it. But for some people, they were saying, I don't know if it's my phone or just the way the program works. After I've been playing for a while, like I need to restart it. Like after I've been playing for a while, it feels like it starts lagging and it's time to just, you know, reset the app, load it up again and keep going. And to be fair, like I have to do that with Arena on my computer. Like that's not... That is not an experience that is unique to just the phone. Like I have to do that when I'm playing normally. Like I was streaming on a few days ago and I had to restart the client 3 times because I just kept running into bug into bug into bug. This was for my desktop.
Wow, that's a lot.
Dude. I was shocked, dude. I was like, what is going on? This client's so unstable. I don't know if they've maybe pushed an update since then, but it was bad. Like I hit a bug. This was the weirdest bug. I had a bug that made every card in my deck cost 3 mana, generic red and blue. Every single one of them. Isn't that so weird?
What?
It's the weirdest thing. There's a clip. There's a clip of this happening on my stream. Not in the middle of the game, but when I was like loading the deck. And suddenly I'm looking at everything and I'm like, why does everything cost 3? And I'm hovering over everything. And everything cost generic red blue.
Oh my God. So I wish had just put a bunch of islands and mountains in there were like, let's go, baby.
This was like a black white deck, by the way.
Who cares? I mean, I know it would have been so interesting to see. Obviously, you know, you don't want to do that to your opponent or anything, but everything's 3 mana. That's a pretty good curve. Just playing 2-color, let's get there. It would have been interesting to see what happens. I mean, but I'm so curious.
Yeah, no, I've hit a bunch of bugs too. So, I think if they're moving towards a place where, like, if Dennis is trying it and it works, if people are saying, yeah, I have to restart every couple of games, but that's not really that big a deal. Like that seems like a pretty good update.
I think so too. And I think that we've talked about this before where we just, I would rather we miss some deadlines and have a good product, a stable product, something that we can be happy with. Obviously, I don't know if we're lucky or not lucky that because we don't have Android, we're like, everyone else is beta testing it. So by the time it gets to iOS, we're going to have a much better version of it theoretically.
That might be the case. Yeah. It might also not, I mean, they might, some problems that arise in Android might not arise in iOS and vice versa. So it's possible that it's working great on Android in 6 months. And when we get it on iOS, it's buggy. So it's hard to know. I'm not really sure. I did find a really, really funny piece of text which was in the Arena MTG Arena mobile FAQ, and they said and this was their text FAQ: can I compete in esports events on mobile? Answer: we do not recommend competing in Magic esports events on a mobile device. And per the Digital Magic tournament rules, players who choose to do so assume all responsibility for gameplay or connection issues they experience.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
I got such a kick out of that. Oh, my God.
The best part about this is for those who don't know, we're going to talk about the developer roadmap. Tablet is in development. So when we say playing mobile, it's literally on your phone. We're not talking about putting it on any kind of tablet or an iPad or anything. Well, iPad's not iOS, you know. Android, the Microsoft version of that is, but I
don't know what it's called.
Surface. Is it a no, that's a computer, whatever. But so literally this question is, if I'm competing in a Magic esports event on my cell phone, can I do that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things you can do that you just shouldn't, and this is just squarely in that list. Like, why are you yeah. doing, why are you even asking this?
I just thought it was really funny. I mean, I understand wanting to put this in front of people, because otherwise, you know this would happen. Somebody goes and tries to play a tournament from their phone, and they're like, I disconnected. Can I get re-entry into it? And it's like, no, why were you doing that in the first place?
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah,
but oh my gosh. I mean,
I got a kick out of it.
They will. I mean, look, it's gonna be a great day when we can all kind of play on our phones and play on our tablets. That's just gonna be awesome. So, you know, but I think high level esports competitive play, like, let's just stick to the computers for now. Let's do everyone a favor.
Dude, I love that so much. I just thought it was so funny they had to put that in there.
Do you think someone actually asked that?
No, maybe they just try to get ahead of it. Like, people are going to ask FAQ? Us about playing esports on their phone. Like, should we just go ahead and say what our policy is ahead of time?
I mean, someone would have asked it. I don't think it's just like, why is this in the FAQ? It's like, they either got ahead of it or someone did ask it. But yeah. No question, someone would have asked it if it didn't actually get
okay,
asked
here's it. A better one. What's the over-under on the next year that we hear about someone who joined an esports event from the phone and then they're trying to get something like a tournament result change or something about the tournament change because they were playing on their phone?
I honestly think the over-under of someone actually does it, or over-under of someone who does it and then wants to get some kind of change because of it.
I guess the thing is that they made it so obvious that it's like they put it right there and in front of you in writing what's going to happen. You take all the responsibilities, like, this is non-negotiable.
I think the over-under on like people who do it is high. I mean, I would probably say like 4.5 or something. Maybe, I mean, and I think maybe I'm too low. I think people are just going to do this.
I would say
they're just going to play on their phone.
I was going to set a line at like 2.5 maybe and take the over. So maybe the better line is 3.5.
It's just, it's crazy. You know, this is going to happen. This is, yes. This is going to happen for sure. People are going to do this.
Yeah.
It's not smart.
Please, I wasn't at home. I needed to join the match. And the only way I could do it was with my phone.
I mean, look, this wasn't an esports thing. This wasn't a league thing. I was at an event. I don't know if it was Phoenix or maybe it was LA. I can't remember what it was, but Brian Kibler was there and he literally went out to buy an iPad. So he could play the latest
Battlegrounds.
He had to buy a new iPad to go play Battlegrounds while he was like on a treadmill or something. And I was just like, dude, first of all, you might have a problem. Like, you know, like, you don't need, you know, but it's like, so, you know, convenience is a thing. Digital games are all about convenience. Well, maybe that's too broad, but certainly digital magic right now, asynchronous rounds, playing on Arena, playing from the comfort of your home, being able to play round one, round two, go take a shower, have lunch, come back, play round three. Like, that is the mode. Those are all built around the convenience of shaping the tournament experience and the gameplay experience around my time, not the other way around. Now, don't get me wrong. Once Magic Fest are back, we're all going to flock to them, and that's going
to
shape
our
experience.
I can't wait to go to Magic Fest. I'm so excited. Yeah.
Right. But for now, the model is certainly, how do we make it convenient? How do we give the customers an ability to shape their gameplay experience around their life and not the other way around? And exactly. So I think that this is definitely going to happen.
For sure. Which that actually leads us into our last thing we wanted to check in on this week, which is the developer roadmap, which was updated in the latest state of the game that happened in January. Mm-hmm. With coming soon, they had Call Time and early Android early access, which that basically all just happened. That was towards the end of January. In development right now, Historic Anthology 4, which we've talked about before. They're doing the fourth one.
Why are they still?
I'm just tired of these. Doing that? I don't know. It's just more ways of introducing cards to Historic, I guess.
But I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I just have, why wasn't Historic Anthology part of Kaladesh Remastered? That's what I don't understand. Like, why didn't they just put it? I mean, maybe they are not draftable. Maybe it would have destroyed the draft format.
I mean, the reworked sets do have old cards that end up in Historic, but I think they can't add that many. Like, they can basically insert way more cards into Historic by doing an anthology than they can by doing one of the flashback sets. That said, I don't know. I'm still just kind of off these, like, buy these 20 random cards that seems like we just threw darts to pick to put into Historic. I don't like it. But that is.
I just wish they would do. I wish they would do something like Modern Master, Historic Horizons, and yeah. Or maybe that's new cards, but Historic Masters, where they just and then make it draftable. Like, look, I have an ulterior motive here. Make it draftable. That's all I'm saying. Because I'm not going to buy any of this anthology. I have not bought them, and I will not.
Yeah. But boy, how much cooler would it be if they did exactly that? A historic,
yeah,
you know, a historic Masters, but just like pick cards that you want to be in historic, make it into a draftable set, and you got all those cards into historic now.
Take my money. Take my money now. Me too. I'm in.
I am in.
Yeah,
but historic anthology. Wait. So. Also in development, iOS support. We're excited about that. Tablet support. That's also exciting. I would be very likely to play on a tablet. Min-spec Android launch, which I don't actually know the difference between Android early access and min-spec Android launch. I think they sound very similar to me.
Is this like the difference between like a beta test and a... But I mean, isn't Arena on the... Are we still in the beta for Arena?
I think Arena's not in beta anymore. No. They did a full launch. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my assumption is that's the going from early access to... Or because we're in a beta right now into the... Now we're launching.
Into anybody
I mean, I have...
That would make sense to
I'm
me
just
too.
Saying that.
I no, have no I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
Strixhaven, which is the next set. That's exciting.
Is that so? Just prediction-wise, do you think Strixhaven is just going to be Hogwarts versus Phyrexia?
I mean, they're definitely
because we have Vorinclex in this.
They're
set.
Totally seeding the whole Phyrexians thing. Wait, didn't you say that? That's I mean, what. Hold on, Mashi. Didn't you predict that? Wasn't that your like really far-fetched prediction? And I was like, "There's no way, dude. That doesn't make any sense." We'd have to go back and look at it.
Well, because the thing is, this is kind of, I mean, that kind of is what happened. It used to be Tolarian Academy, aka Hogwarts, versus Phyrexia. That was the original storyline. I think I did talk about this because I think they're just doing the same thing again. I'm on board for it, by the way. I'm totally on board for
it. We'd have to go back and take a look at, I don't even remember what episode it was, but I remember you saying that and I was like, nah, dude, that doesn't make any sense. Lol.
Oh my God. Maybe I was right. Let's
Maybe
go,
you're
baby.
Right.
Let's
that would
go.
Be really, we'd have to go back and check it out, but I think you might be right. You might be onto something. They're definitely teasing a Phyrexian return, especially in the set. Just like randomly Vorinclex is in Kaldheim for no real explanation. Just, hello, we're here. Stuff that's coming down and it's in concept. So they've said before in concept stuff is like not currently being developed, but definitely coming down the pipeline. Like it's part of the plans that they have in the future. Pioneer Masters, which we've talked about and we were very excited for.
Definitely.
Collection interface improvements. They haven't really given us much about this, but like it's a general thing. It sounds like a good thing. I don't really know what it's going to look like.
This is just a UI thing, right? So, but I mean,
probably.
I think we need help there. Yeah. So why not?
Yeah, I like it. Adventures in the Forgotten Realms, which is the D&D magic set, and that one I'm stoked for.
It's a terrible name, though.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, it's terrible.
It's funny because when Mosh and I were looking at the show notes before the episode started, I'm like, "Adventures in the Forgotten Realms, what is that, Mosh?" You're like, "Isn't that the D&D set?" I'm like, "Oh my God, that's a long name."
Yeah, it's. Awful. Like, I don't know. Maybe it'll change into something else. I mean, you could just say Forgotten Realms, but I don't know.
But then you missed out on the whole Adventures in the Forgotten Realm. Or Realms, because it's multiple realms. I don't know.
Just say Forgotten Realms.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a long name. Deck sharing, which is cool. Sounds awesome. Like a pretty cool thing. And then they said Playblade rework, but and I couldn't figure out what this was for the life of me, so I went searching. And I found a Reddit post where a bunch of other people were also unsure what it meant. Because this developer roadmap was presented to us without any other context. It was just like, here's our developer roadmap. Bing.
Yeah.
And so the people on that Reddit thread theorized that they actually meant play mode rework, which is reworking the play modes that you see when you land into MTG Arena, which makes sense to me because right now the way it works, there's like a toggle that you can choose on and off. And it's not clear which one you have, like if it's on or off. And based on what you have clicked, you will sometimes see play modes and you'll sometimes not see your play modes. And it's not clear. Like I've had multiple people join my stream and be like, why don't I see draft? And I'm like, oh my God, you have the click selected on the wrong side. And they're like, oh, well, that was weird. I would have never known that.
Yeah, I had to discover that myself too. I'm like, wait a minute, why don't I see draft? I think it was actually when we had the cocktail parties. We used to have these CFB cocktail parties, and Jordan was looking at my screen. He's like, "Oh, you need to click.
You need to click. You need to check it on."
Stupidest thing.
It's so dumb.
Like, why? Not only I don't understand why you have that toggle. Why was it toggled that way? Like, I feel like it should toggle to like show me everything. And then if I want to see less or something, I don't know.
But. Super weird. I think the reason they did it, and I'm not sure, is because when you go through the tutorial, they want you to go through like these tutorials where you play against the AI and like different versions of like the Ajani decks and the Chandra decks against Sparky. And then once you are done with that, they'll be like, okay, you learned how to play Magic. Now you're ready to play the other game modes. So I think that was the idea. But really, all it makes it is it just randomly hides game modes when it's not supposed to. And it just doesn't really work very well.
Yeah, agreed. So this is so interesting because like, I really want to give credit to the Arena team. They surprised us with human drafts, okay? And then they surprised us with, they surprised us with Arena on mobile too. And so I really like the direction things are going in. And they've really kind of increased their confidence, my confidence currency in them. Yeah. So I'm super excited to see how things go on Android. I'm super excited for the iOS deployment. I will be there as soon as they'll let me in. Same thing with tablets. So couldn't say more. I'm very, very excited. I can't wait to get into call time. So I'm super excited for Arena. Well, Gabby, that does it for the month. we'll check back in on all these things and other things. There's always something going on. A month really does give us a good amount of time.
It really does. Things. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be back next month. Thank you so much for joining us this hour. I mean, these hours are so much more precious now. We love having you. Have great feedback now that, you know, I'm doing the CFP box breaks thing. People come in and, oh, I love Magic FM and everything.
I know, I've seen that. It's so sweet.
It's so sweet. It's wonderful. It really does mean the world to me. It's awesome. And I know it means the world to Gabby too. It's wonderful feedback. So thank you so much for hanging with us for this past hour. I am the guy on the left, Moshi Scanlon, at Moshi Scanlon across all social media platforms. She is Gabby Spartz, at Gabby Spartz. You can find her on Twitter and Insta at Gabby Spartz or twitch.tv/Gabby Spartz. If you're listening to the podcast, hit subscribe. We do it every month. There's a video portion. You can find that on channelfireball.com or on the Channel Fireball YouTube channel. And you can see our wonderful faces and our large gesticulations. And you can go there and rank the art on Gabby's wall. You can come up with your own ranking if you like. So we are done for the month. We'll be back next month. Until then, all of you, please remember, be wonderful to yourselves and be wonderful to each other.
Bye-bye.